This is an interview with our series of Women with Sex for Centennial. Today, Ms. Anna Gattermuth and Lula Clayton-Bills are the guests. Anna has held a variety of positions at Lindenwood and now lives in an apartment adjacent to the radio station. Ms. Bills was the registrar at Lindenwood from 1952 to 1974. This interview is being taped at the KCLT studios on Friday, February 18, 1977, and I'm Joan Gatson. Anna, it's a real pleasure to have you back down here in the radio station again. Anna's been, for our listeners' benefit, Anna's been our helper during the past couple of years when I've been at KCLC, and she fixes us coffee and makes us cookie, and it's just a real pleasure to have you here. And Ms. Bills, it's good to have you here. I understand you're a good friend of Anna, so you must be okay.
Oh, that's a good recommendation.
Anna, one of the first things I wanted to know is you came here when you were 18 years old. When was that? Do you know what year it was?
I think it was in
1974.
All I know, Anna, is I know you've been here 70 years.
Yes.
So that would be the early 1900s. Right? The early 1900s?
I think so.
Okay. How did you get involved with Lindenwood, Anna?
Well, you know, we lived on a farm out of Powellville. And I lived on a farm out of Powellville and went to Lee Ridge School. That was a school I went to. And at that time, my father and Mr. Arthur McClure were on the board. And at the end of school, we had a picnic, and they asked Dr. Ayers to come out there. And so we had a picnic, and everybody around the neighborhood came there to the Lee Ridge School. That's where I went to start school. And then after that, I decided I wanted to help my dad earn some money, and we came to St. Charles on a farm wagon with horses.
Can you imagine?
And then I thought,
What did you bring?
Oh,
did he dad, just bring you, or did he?
No, he had a load of broom stuff that we raised on the farm to make brooms out of.
Broom corn,
oh. That's what it was. And then he left me off down here at the entrance, and I thought I wanted to come up to see about a workup here at Lindenwood. So I got off of the entrance at Lindenwood, and I thought it was about a mile walking up here to the building. But Mrs. Ayers met me at the door, and I applied for work out here. And so I was 17 then. But that spring, I'd been 18, and she says, you won't be quite 17, but you come back in the fall, and I'll have some work for you. That's how I got started.
What did you do first when you came?
Well, first work I had to do was to work in the pantry. They had a pantry there, and I was a dishwasher.
Now, was this in Ayers?
In Ayers.
The dining room was in Ayers then?
Yeah.
We had a brief break in the tape, and here the last question that had been asked previous to the tape breaking was the pantry, or you began working in the pantry,
mm-hmm.
Was that in Ayers Hall? Had Ayers Hall been built
in? Yes, I worked in Ayers Hall.
Okay.
That's where I started.
Well, now tell me, Anna, am I right that Ayers Hall was named Jubilee Hall first?
Yes.
Yes.
It was Jubilee
Hall.
So
at the time you came, was it Ayers or Jubilee?
It was Jubilee Hall.
Jubilee Hall then.
Mm-hmm.
And you were here then when it was changed, the name was changed.
Yes, after Dr. Ayers passed away.
Yes,
he passed away that Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And
was Dr. Ayers the principal or the president of the college
at
that
time?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know a little less about Dr. and Mrs. Ayers than any of the presidents and their wives. Tell us something about what kind of people they were.
Well, I thought they were very nice people, and she was a sweet little woman. And I think everybody liked her.
The students liked them?
Yes. And, of course, Dr. Ayers, he wasn't here very long after... See, I came in the fall, and that Christmas he passed away. And at that time, they were living in what was called Jubilee Hall then.
Was Jubilee Hall built well enough, or was there a dormitory in Jubilee Hall at that time also? Was it a dormitory where students lived?
Yes, students lived in, and the dining room was in there too. And also, at that time, I think the post office was down there, too. And they had a man by the name of John that would go downtown in an old-fashioned Surrey, had fringes around the top, and an old gray horse. And whenever he'd go downtown, get the mail, bring it up, he'd stop there by the, what is his sibling now, that door there,
mm-hmm.
And he'd get out of this wagon, the Surrey, and bring the mail in, and the old gray horse would take the buggy down to the barn where he stopped and stayed till man John
the horse
back.
Went by himself.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It was so sensible. He just, after he'd say, go on, I don't know what he said to the horse, but he just told him to go on.
The horse knew what he said.
Sibley Hall was at one time Lindenwood Hall. Was it Lindenwood or Sibley when you were here, when you first came?
Yes, it was Sibley Hall, as long as I can remember.
But there was a time when it was the only building here and everything was in that.
Yes. It was. The infirmary was in there at that time, and, well, they had that chapel there, and I can't remember who was the house mother. They had a house mother, and, of course, the infirmary was in there at that time, and the lady's, the nurse, her name was Miss Sayre. Her name was S-A-Y. E-R-R-E, I can't remember which. And that was on the second floor in Sibley.
Mm-hmm. Did they have the classrooms in Sibley or in Butler? Do you know where they had classes?
Yeah, they had classes. And at that time, Dr. Stumberg was a doctor here. And they had classes, all classes in there. And also down on the ground floor was the dining room.
Some of the teachers live
that in? That was before my days, though.
Yes.
But they had the dining room downstairs in Sibley then, and the kitchen over there, too.
Didn't some of the teachers live in Sibley?
Yes, some of the teachers mm-hmm. lived there, too.
And something that I saw in some of the early literature said that there was no running water in Sibley in the early days.
When they first started, they had no electric and no...
You mean no electricity either?
No electric either, because in the students' rooms, they had... I had a cousin that worked there at that time, and they had washbowl and pitchers and slop drawers. I don't know how they got the water in the house, so they had a cistern in the back of the Sibley Hall, though.
That's really amazing. Anna, did you know Colonel Butler very well? Did you get to know Colonel Butler?
Did I get what?
To know Colonel Butler?
Yeah.
Colonel Butler was the man who was just a friend of, what, Dr. Nicholson?
Dr. Irwin? I don't think he was on the campus very much.
He just came and visited.
Yes, yes. He was the one that Colonel Butler built Butler Hall.
Right.
And you played a big part in Butler Hall. What did you do when Butler Hall was finished?
Well, I was asked to go over there and work in Butler Hall. At that time, I was working in Ayers yet, and Dr. and Mrs. Romer were here then, and she asked me to go over to Butler Hall. Of course, I thought I'd try it, and I'm glad I did.
That was a big promotion, though.
Thank you. Yes, it was. But at that time, they still eat in Ayers Hall.
All right.
They moved the dining room after Ayers. I can't remember just how that happened, but years after the Sibley was built, then they had the dining room over in Butler and Ayers.
And it was still there.
Yes, still there.
What did you do when you worked in Butler?
Well, I was a housekeeper over there.
You were in charge of the whole housekeeping business.
And at that time, we had to ring bells. We didn't have electric in all the buildings. And we had a bell that we had to go at 6 o'clock in the morning. We had to get out there in the halls and ring the bell. And we had to go through all the floors that would wake, that was called rising bell.
And you still have the bell, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You do have the bell?
I still have the bell. When I moved down to Memorial Arts here, I thought, well, that's one thing I'm going to take with me.
Anna, were there really strict rules about the girls keeping their rooms clean at that time and picking up?
Oh, yes. Every day the house mother checked the rooms on all the floors.
And they had to be clean?
Well, she graded them. I don't know how they were. Sometimes they were okay, I guess, and sometimes they weren't. But she graded their rooms.
Do you remember how many girls were in a room at a time?
Well, some of them were double rooms and some were single rooms.
There were single rooms?
Mm-hmm.
I know you remember how many of the working girls lived in a room. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, that was over in Sibley.
Yes, I know.
Not over in Sibley, over in Ayers, I mean. We was over there yet. We had two rooms in that little hall. It goes from the big hall, and then us working dining room girls slept in there. And we didn't have single beds that time. We had double beds, and there was two double beds in each room. And
there were four girls in each room then.
No, there was, four girls.
Did they call that the basement, or did they call it the terrace level like they call the basements now?
No, I think they call it the lower, they just, as well as I can remember, they call it the basement.
Basement.
I slept in the basement my first year at McClure, which is really the terrace level, but it's the basement. Anna, how long were you at Butler?
Well, I stayed there till they built this building down here,
the
Memorial Art Building. And then Dr. Romer asked me to come down here, mm-hmm. be in charge of the building, custodian-like. And of course, I didn't know whether I could do it or not. And he says, well, I wouldn't ask you, but I didn't think you could do it. So I did. And that's how I got down here to the Memorial Ark Building.
And I have heard that when the Memorial Ark Building was dedicated, that that was one of the biggest things that had ever happened on the Lindenwood campus.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, then we had invitations for 500 people. And they served up in the parlors and even had tables. That time, that old big tree was the king of the campus, they called it, outdoors. And we served outdoors and I think two tables outside for all these people.
I didn't know that. I remember when the tree had to be cut, but I didn't know it was called King of the Campus.
It was King of the Campus.
Isn't that amazing?
Where exactly was the tree?
In front, where was it, Anna?
It
where
was right
the
tree? Outside the building. Well, where the parking, not where the parking lot, was closer than that.
Right, well, it was close to the building.
That was
in front of the building.
Yes. And, of course, that tree, I don't know how it got injured, but anyway, they had it had an opening in it, and it was Elmer Adelheid was his name that time. They took a picture of him in that hole there.
The hole was that big that a person...
They had done a wonderful job of tree surgery on it and filled it so that the tree lived for years and years and years, even in that condition.
Yeah. As well as I can remember, that tree was struck by lightning twice.
Oh, it must have been a big one.
Oh, it was.
Did you know Dr. Romer very well?
Oh, yes. He was a good friend. And I really... appreciate all he done, asked me to do, and I still remember him well.
Well, he must have been really anxious or really proud of Anna to give her the job as custodian of the Memorial Arts Building.
Well, he showed his appreciation of Anna in another way, too. Tell what was in Dr. Romer's will when he died.
Well, I didn't know this till he passed away, but he willed that little apartment I have down here to me as long as I live.
Yeah, I
knew. Isn't that great?
I didn't know Dr. Romer did it. That is great.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. We're glad he did.
That's how I got down to Memorial Art.
And there was a time, so I have heard, when so many of the people who worked at Lindenwood in the capacity that you worked in left for higher wages.
Oh, yes.
And you didn't go. How did you happen to stay?
Well, at that time, Miss Cook was a manager here. And she, I wanted to go too. I thought, well, I wanted to go too. And she kept begging me not to go. So I did. I stayed. And, of course, quite a few of the people from here that were working here got better wages.
How much did you get, do you remember?
We got $1 a day here when we started to work here.
Can you imagine?
And we'd work from 6 to 10 at night sometimes.
Did that include room and board, Anna? Did you get to sleep, sleep here?
Yes, of course. We all got a room and board.
You've lived here on this campus for 70 years.
Right.
Isn't that...
the longest college student in history.
You've known more college students, you've known more faculty, you've known more presidents and their wives than anybody living.
I met lots and lots of people, like you folks too.
Is there any one person that you've known here at the college that stands out in your memory as really just a very good person or a good person for the college? Like any one president or dean of women or house mother that you think has contributed a lot?
Well, a house mother was Mrs. Roberts. Her name was Mrs. Roberts. That's when I started to work here. And, Mrs. Romer was a mighty nice person, too. I love her.
Anna, what is the story about the Christmas parties that Dr. and Ms. Romer had every year.
Well, they had a house mother that would around before Christmas, all the working people here had to give a list of three things they'd like to have. And this house mother would try to get one of what we mentioned. And I don't know how she ever did it, but she'd buy each one of the help a Christmas present.
Do you remember anything you ever got?
Yes, I remember I got one time I asked for a suitcase. And I already had a blanket. Everybody always nearly got what they asked for.
How were the gifts presented to you?
Well, they would have a big table in the dining room, and they'd have a Christmas tree, and they'd have those Christmas presents all on the table for us. And when we had all gathered in the kitchen, and then we had two doors to come in from, and then we'd kind of meet, you know, and we marched over there by the tree, and they had chairs there for us to sit. And we sit there, and then the cooks, the colored, the black people would come in and sing a song. At that time, Frankie Davis was here. She was a really good singer. And after they'd sing the song here, the Santa Claus would come down from upstairs, and he'd come down and distribute all the gifts to us.
Now, were the students in the dining room?
Yes.
Was it a regular meal?
It was a regular meal they'd have. And they all stayed, and we all enjoyed it.
That sounds great.
But the love of your life has been this building, the Memorial Arts Building and the radio station.
Right.
Tell us about some of the open houses that the radio station used to have at Christmas time.
Well,
they still do, I guess. Do you still have open house at Christmas time?
We have it usually.
For the whole campus?
We usually in the spring and in the fall we'll have a weekend, but not at Christmas time.
But it used to be at Christmas.
Yes,
tell us about one of those
places. Well, Miss Boyer was a radio station here at the station, and Dr. Thomas was the head of the music department at that time. And of course, they'd have a Christmas tree, and they'd serve a meal. And then I'd have to get help in to help me serve the meal.
Did the whole campus come down?
Yes, as many as they could get around.
It was for everybody.
Yes, for everybody.
One of the big events of the year. I remember how we used to enjoy it. And I also remember the time that they built the first fire in the fireplace. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, Miss Boyer was here then, and Dr. Thomas, and we had to build a fire in the fireplace. And, of course, they had a tree, and they'd have a program, too. And I was downstairs in the kitchen when somebody called me upstairs, and I thought it might have been the fire. I was always afraid of the fire, but maybe someone was burning. And I got up there, and here they gave me I got a parakeet one year in a cage. And that was my present that year from
But what did you name it?
Well, they all asked me what I was going to name it, and I thought, well, KCLC station, I'll just say I'll call it Casey.
How sweet.
I had it in my room for a long time. And every time it seemed, wouldn't sing. And they take it down in the radio station here and play the violin. One of the girls that play the violin thought that it's singing.
Uh-huh.
But it never would talk very much. Finally, I...
You had a good home. It didn't have to talk.
Finally, I got it to say, I kept saying Casey, and it come out, that was his first word he said, Casey. And then he'd always have a picture on the wall, and I'd point that picture, and he'd say, pretty girl, pretty girl. That's where he got started to talk.
Anna, did you have days off when you were working here?
Yes, we had days.
What did you used to do?
Well, I like to go shopping, and I'd leave for the day and go. A lot of times I had friends or some more of us would go shopping for the day down in St. Louis.
What transportation did you have? How'd you get there?
Well, we had a city bus at that time, and we'd go down to the station here and get a bus to go over to St. Louis.
Wasn't there at one time a trolley car that went from here to St. Louis, from the St. Charles to St. Louis?
St. Louis, yes.
I remember that. I think when I first came here in the 50s, that the tracks were still across the old bridge.
Yes, it was. We went over the old bridge with that... Streetcar.
That is just great. Anna, can you tell me, I know that you were here when KCLC first started. Can you tell me anything about it? Since that's my first love, I'm kind of interested in the history of KCLC.
Well, they had Miss Boyer was the first lady that started the KCLC station.
Uh-huh.
And, we got to be real good friends.
Still are.
Yes, still are. And she comes back to see us sometime, too. And, let's see. I can't remember. All the teachers you mean that were down there then?
Well, do you remember anything especially, like they had the Christmas party? Were there any other things that they did? Or I know you used to bring down coffee and cookies down here all the time.
Yes.
And you still do.
They always serve coffee down here at the station, too. You know, every day I fix it.
It'd be interesting to know how many cups of coffee you fixed for KCLC.
Well, we used to have as high as 30 cups sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those days I fixed it in the kitchen, but now I just get the water in. And the president here now, manager, is Mr. White, and he tells me about how many cups of water to put in the urn. And that's what he fixes. They fix it right over there.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of students coming through here.
Oh, yes, lots.
It'd be interesting to me, since you loved the girls so, and since it was a girls' school for so long, how you felt about it when you heard men were going to come.
Well, I didn't know what to think. But I find the boys are just as nice as the girls.
Well, we all found that out.
There have been a lot of changes, Anna, here at Lindenwood since you got here. When you were here, was it still a seminary school or just for girls through 12th grade? Do you remember?
Well, let's see.
Well, they didn't offer a college degree as early as your being here.
No. I don't know just how they did that.
Well, it seems like now, even since I've been here, there's been new programs implemented and stuff. Have you seen the growth of the college as being something good, or do you think that it's taken away?
Yes, great change.
Great progress.
Yeah.
Great progress. Well, Anna, I think I've covered everything that I can think of, Miss Beale.
Well, Anna and I visit so much that if I think of anything else that I want to know, I ask.
Okay.
We like to dig up the things of the past.
Yes. Well, I enjoy being with you folks, too.
Thank you so much for coming down, Anna. I'm glad that we finally got the chance to do this.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for coming down with us.
Well, I enjoyed it. It was a new experience for me.
Good morning, Mrs. Null.
Good morning, dear.
Thank you so much for letting us come to your house on this rainy morning.
I am always happy to have Lindenwood people in my home.
You know, when I was reading, Lindenwood has been a very real part of your life, hasn't it?
It has. It really has. It's been an experience, and I'm so glad I've been happy that I was permitted to come along at this time.
And you know, from the time you were a little girl, is that right?
Little girl. I played on the campus with Dr. Irwin's children, and later we went to school together and grew up together.
Now, all the students lived in Sibley then, right? There was
only one building? There was only that one building. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was a day student. I've always been a day student.
Now, did the entrance to Lindenwood look the same as it does now?
A lot the same. Of course, the arch is now down here.
Near King Highway.
Yes, but it was up.
Oh, it was farther up.
Halfway up, yeah.
I see.
Halfway up, and that was there. They didn't exactly, that was for the days of the Iron Curtain, but it practically was. Nobody was permitted to go beyond that gate without permission.
My word, was there someone there to stop you if you...
Well, you didn't know whether somebody was going to be there.
So you didn't dare?
Well, I could, of course.
But young men first.
Oh, young men, heavens no. If they ever wandered past that, where there was somebody out immediately, I think the president could look out and see down the avenue.
And there was a pasture?
There was a pasture on, as you go up to the left, And I remember the pasture was very low, there was a place there, and thin, it rained, there was a little pond, and I remember two little girls, I thought they were little girls then, who were in school. I think one to be taken care of, one of them's father was a general in the Philippines and so forth, and I can remember going up one day and seeing these two kids out in that pond with a tub that they had swiped from the laundry.
They were boating in the pond.
They were boating in the pond.
And there were cows on the campus?
There were cows on the campus.
Was there a farm, really, connected with Lindenwood?
Yes. The farm was still behind there.
Now, you went to Lindenwood as a student, right?
And I went to Lindenwood as a student.
Tell me about the courses you took
there. Well, you took most anything you wanted as long as you took
And you were interested in art, weren't you?
I took art, special art, I think,
kind
of painting and so forth.
Right. But,
and later on, I always say to Dorothy, I went back from time to time and took other things that I was interested in, sewing, millinery.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
But your interest in art has persisted even till today.
Well, I have picked it up again.
Yeah.
To say that and had fun doing it. But
tell me about May Days. Our students now are so interested in what you used to do on May Day.
Well, May Day was quite an event. I mean, it was a real May Day. I mean, everybody else had May, all the
Right.
schools had May Day. Had a May Queen, and the attendants. My little girls, when they were small, were the attendants. I would make little ordinary dresses for them, you know, and they carried
Right.
baskets of flowers and so forth. So they got an early start at Lindenwood, too. And it was followed by a play in the evening. Now, that was when it was on the campus.
Yes.
Then, later on, there was a physical ed teacher who was very enthusiastic about May Days, and she put on a spectacular.
Oh.
And that was down over where the golf course is.
Oh, I see.
Down there. Yeah. And my daughter Lois at that time was working on pageantry, and our house was like a circus. You couldn't turn around, there was a costume here, you don't need a paper and something of that sort, but it was quite an event. I remember one time, as I said, my girls were usually in that thing, and I would have to get them home from school and get them ready and get them out there. All right. At that time, it was on a weekday, and the schools were dismissed so that the public school children could go to the midday.
Oh,
I mean, it was quite a festive occasion. So this one day, the superintendent of schools came in and just said to teacher, does anybody in here know what time May Day starts at Lindenwood? My little girl put up her hand and said, my daddy says it will start just as soon as we can get there and get our clothes changed after the rain.
Very good.
And that'll be great. And that was it. I would get half dressed when somebody from the college would call. Don't send the girls up, we're going to have to postpone it. Get them undressed, and you call. We think we can have it, hurry up and get them here. So you can see how that would have made that impression. But at the time in the evening, there was usually a play, a Shakespearean play or something on the campus.
Now, you graduated in 1905.
1905.
Was the graduation out of doors then?
No. And it was one of the first years when they went from caps and gowns into dresses.
I see,
there was a time, I can remember as a little girl, a senior, who would, I think in the spring, they were permitted to wear their caps and gowns on the street to church.
Oh.
And they would pass my house.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the occasion was, but I knew there was something different going on.
Right.
And it was fun, too, to see the girls, because the girls came down the avenue, and there was a little store way down on the corner. And that was their outlet to
their recreation?
They marched over the t-shirt at the front of the line, and the t-shirt in the back of the line. I don't know where they ever thought the girls were going to go, but that was part of their ritual.
My word. Did you watch them pass
around? I would sit on the fence and watch, and they'd go down to the old store, and always I knew that they would have candy or something for me when they came back.
Now, when you graduated, what was your dress like?
Oh, it was a white organdy and three tiers. I mean,
three tiers
somewhere. And very long. You know, I was thinking the other day, I don't think there was any time I went to Lindenwood that my dresses were above my ankles.
Oh, they were all that time, the dresses were long.
And I graduated from London. I went to school practically dragging dresses and so forth.
That's right.
They were that. And
it must have been pretty to see the girls in those long dresses.
It was. It was lovely, but then they got back to the other again.
I know.
The thing. And then usually the girls, of course, they were not permitted to have flowers. Flowers were sent in using this.
Now, did they ever have any dances or anything with young gentlemen?
That came out a long, long time after.
Not in your day.
Not in my day. No, but the girls themselves had nice parties.
I see.
And in the old gymnasium, which I think is, what is it, the Carpenter, the Harness Place, or whatever it is
one
now.
Of the shops for
back of the thing
that's
was
right.
there, and that was the gymnasium.
And you decorated.
And you dressed up, and you even had programs, don't you know, you danced for each other.
But you had dance programs in
there? We had dance programs and everything.
Now, did they teach dancing lessons, or did the girls teach each other?
Oh, they taught each other.
They taught each other. So they weren't averse to dancing. It was all right to
dance. Oh, it was all right to dance. Yes. I don't think there were any questions about that. Because
Now, did the boarding students ever have any dreadful time to go off outside of when they went to the store or to church?
Oh, they spent a lot of time going to St. Louis.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Yeah. On Saturdays, they would go into matinees and to the concerts.
And then those would all be chaperones.
They would be chaperones. Yeah. They would be chaperones. And I had some friends who would come spend maybe the weekend with me.
Oh, yeah.
Had always the permission from their parents.
I see.
Got off of the campus and
yes.
Parents knew where they were.
They certainly were very well looked after, weren't they?
They were very well looked after. I think some of them made it out. Even then, some of them knew the night watchman.
We read that Mary Sibley used to run away to dances when she was a girl, so I guess those girls in 1905 could do it. You wrote a very nice statement, Mrs. Knoll. Would you read me that statement that you wrote? I like it so very much.
You wrote this whole thing?
Yes, the one that begins, "You can't go home again." I like that.
Oh, you like that.
Yeah.
Who says one can't ever go home? What is home? And I quote, "Home is where one hangs one memory. One can go home. You have come home." You want it more of it?
Yes, I like the whole thing.
As I sit and ponder over my album all alone, before me are the faces of dear friends whom I have known. Or, do I say, "Hail to thee, my alma mater, hail to thee forevermore." Or, do I say, "Who says one can't go home?" Okay. Before me is a Lindenwood with her three doors, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I stand at the door of yesterday. I look out, and I like what I see. I stand at the door of today. Today is no rehearsal.
You wouldn't start the whole thing like that again because you have the place you like in front of the
mind. Right, you'll know it by heart.
Yeah.
If I hear your words, I'll kill you.
Okay.
I was wondering what to say. I jotted down some things and I said, I'll read them to you. As I sit and ponder on my album all alone, before me are the faces of dear friends whom I have known. Or do I say, "Hail to thee, my alma mater, hail to thee forevermore." Or I do say, "Who says one can't go home?" Before me is Lindenwood with her three doors, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I stand at the door of yesterday. I look out, and I like what I see. I stand at the door of today. Today is no rehearsal. Today is for real. I stand, I look out, and I like what I see. I stand at the door of tomorrow. That door is closed, but on the knocker hangs a key marked with four letters, H-O-P-E, and only with hope, faith, and love can that door be opened. And I dream of the things beyond that door, and I like what I see. And together we can say, "Hail to thee, our alma mater, hail to thee forevermore."
Thank you so very much, Mrs. Knoll. You are a very real part of Lindenwood, to the present students, to the faculty, and to all of us, and we appreciate all you've done for us.
Well, thank you. I'm always so happy to do it because Lindenwood is my Lindenwood.
That's right.